Now, I'm sure by now many of us must have heard of the term taking a knee. Taking a knee became famous about two and a half years ago by American footballer. Now, that's, of course, American football, not the soccer American football, the other one, Colin Kaepernick, who refused to stand in a formal way with his hand above his heart when the national anthem of the U.S. was being played. Now, Kaepernick is a professional footballer playing for a number of teams, I believe, recently signed up with the Seahawks, if I'm not mistaken. Haven't been following that part of the world for some time right now, or that category of the part of the world for some time now. But either way, during the time of the vitriol of President Trump, when he was on the campaign, citing hatred against African Americans and people of minority origin, Colin Kaepernick decided to protest, and his idea of protest was to take a knee during the national anthem. And whilst all his fellow players from both teams, the opposition and the whatever side, used to, you know, whilst they stood in tandem with regards to the national anthem, Mr. Kaepernick took a knee. Now, taking a knee seems to have come to South Africa as well. Two pupils at the Herzliya Middle School in Cape Town facing disciplinary action for kneeling in protest during the playing of the Hatikva, the Israeli national anthem, during a ceremony last Thursday. Now, this, of course, courtesy of Ground Up. The event was a graduation ceremony for grade 9 pupils, and the two grade 9 students took a knee when the middle school vocal ensemble began to sing the Hatikva. It is quite common for Herzliya events to include the singing of both the South African and Israeli national anthems. Now, it was also not unusual, however, in the past for students opposed to the school's Zionistic stance to either sit or stay silent during the singing of the Israeli anthem. Now, following the ceremony and the protest, an email was sent by the school's director of education, Jeff Cohen, to all parents, and in there, very briefly, he stated that he wrote that kneeling during the school's formal and prestigious event, and I quote, was inappropriate and demonstrated deliberate and flagrant disregard for the ethos of the school. We have online with us Alan Horowitz, South African Jews for a Free Palestine. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning to you and to the listeners.
And thank you for joining us. Tell us, two children taking the knee while the Israeli anthem played at Herzliya Middle School caused quite a buzz, of course, for those people who it caused a buzz for. What do we know thus far?
Well, they caused a buzz because, unfortunately, the Jewish community has retreated into a super nationalist ghetto where there's no tolerance for dissent or protest or any type of critical thinking about Israel's actions. These young people, they are in the true Jewish tradition, if I might put it that way, where questioning of authority, questioning of dogma, is celebrated. Certainly, the last 200 years of Jewish history, the Enlightenment coming out of the French Revolution, the Jewish tradition changed from being one of orthodoxy to one of openness. But over the last few decades, with the Israeli occupation and the numerous violations of human rights that take place daily in the West Bank, of course, with regard to Gaza, the whole, there's been a radical shift to the right of Jewish culture. But these young people, they're saying, no, we will use essentially a Black American gesture of protest to show that we are part of a global movement to challenge Israeli violations. So it's a very welcome and, I must say, progressive move from a surprising quarter, because at Herzliya and at King David, the two premier Jewish schools, there is now a culture of intolerance, and the fact that they're in grade 9, I mean, that's quite amazing. It's very heartening to see this.
You know, Alan, tell us, I mean, these kids are a part of what might be a growing movement, and there have been members of the Jewish community that have previously protested Israel's actions, though themselves, you know, avowedly, you know, Jewish, but claiming that, you know, Israel doesn't speak for and stand for us from a political point of view. What has normally been the reaction of society in the current climate? Are they known to ostracize such individuals? Are they looked down upon? Or is within the South African particular Jewish community, is such action celebrated? These are kids, and you know what might be the outcome may be different for them, but those of their peers or those of their seniors who have done similar protest actions, maybe not physically but maybe verbally expressed their dissatisfaction with Israel, normally what type of response could they expect from their community?
The response is Pavlovian, to put it in popular science terms, which is to denigrate, demonize, and accuse, you know, one of being an anti-Semitic Jew. So the response is very extreme, very bigoted, and as I've said, actually, you know, shows the ugliest face of Jewish culture. What's interesting is that in the United States today is a very big movement of tens of thousands of young Jewish people who are opposed to the Zionist excesses, if one wants to put it that way, in that in Israel today we know that the rule of law has been completely eroded, and party political politics, which relates to annexation, which relates to, you know, a demolition of the houses of people who've been part of the Palestinian resistance, a frantic effort to crush any type of Palestinian resistance, you know, is now accepted in Israel as the norm, something that's natural and right. But of course, all of these are violations both of natural law, the Jewish precepts, and the international legal framework. So the South African Jewish establishment is very much part of that right-wing blindness. And young people, as I've said, in the United States, Jewish people, are up in arms against this and are very militant. There are many occupations of the offices of Jewish organizations when this comes to Zionist practices. And they are challenging the orthodoxy around no questioning of what Israel does. In South Africa, of course, we have a much, much smaller Jewish community. And young people seem to have been, by and large, intimidated, never mind adults. So it's very refreshing to see these outbursts. Sadly, I must say, it still represents a very small movement, a very small number of people who are prepared to challenge us, because the demonization and the ostracism is extreme. Now, Hitler was always seen as being more liberal than King David. I myself am a graduate of Herzliya. I matriculated in 1969. And at that point, Herzliya, although it was a Zionist ethos, was a secular school, and in fact, questioning was encouraged. Of course, in 1969, the occupation was only a few years old, and most of us didn't know the truth of the Nakba. We had no real understanding of what the establishment of Israel meant as young Jewish people. Today, there's so much more information. I mean, Israeli historians themselves, never mind Palestinian historians, have exposed what happened from the beginnings of Zionism, so that no one can claim ignorance. So I can only repeat that what these young people have done is very encouraging.
Alan, you know, you raise a very interesting point here, that in the 1960s and 70s, where questioning was more encouraged and more tolerated by members of the Jewish community, where did this shift take place towards this, you know, this one-sided approach that you can't question the state? And did it happen because of some reasons, or were there some was there some shift in the community leadership? And you know, we're interested to note if one could summarize that, when and how did it happen?
Well, I don't want to make too much of it, because, you know, sadly, as we all know, Jewish people, being part of white South Africa, enjoyed all the privileges of apartheid, and the Jewish establishment was not very bold in condemning apartheid, but there were many Jewish anti-apartheid activists. I don't need to name names, but we know that the Jewish community proportionately was active in that respect. And I think with that, there also came a sense that any injustice should be challenged. Of course, you know, as the Israeli occupation of the West Bank, Gaza, East Jerusalem became something not just of a few years, but became entrenched, and annexation of those territories became the policy of all Israeli political parties. This also influenced Jews outside of Israel. And as we know, in the last two decades, there's been a revival of religious fundamentalism of every description. And religion, by and large, does not bring tolerance, certainly not in our contemporary world. So that this drift to the right certainly became entrenched in the last 20 years, I'd say. So that those currents of Judaism which support the occupation, and that basically the orthodox versions of Judaism, which though are supported by a minority of Jews, they are the most strident and the best organized. Unfortunately, the right wing, with the kind of chauvinism and determination to impose its worldview on others, generally, you know, pushes aside more tolerant and open versions of both religion and any other political movement. So the South African Jewish community is no exception. Although, as I say, this isn't inevitable. In the United States, there's a move in the reverse direction towards more openness, to re-establishing connections between the Jewish community, the black community, Hispanic, against Donald Trump and his neo-fascist, you know, ideology. So that it's not inevitable. And one hopes that, you know, slowly but surely the tide will turn here too. Because there are no signs of a new exodus of Jews from South Africa. The Jewish community has been here for 150 years. And even though in the 1980s there was quite wide-scale emigration, that sort of tapered off. And today there's a fairly stable community. But the battle of ideas is raging. And it's a good sign that young people in the community have the courage to stand up and defy the communal orthodoxy. So, yes, I'd say that, you know, the global situation has also affected the local Jewish community. And with neoliberal capitalism being in crisis all over the world, we've seen the rise of new nationalisms, the revival a very narrow current of thinking. I mean, just look at Europe and the reaction to refugees. Europe's closed its doors to refugees now, despite an initial openness. The United States is certainly completely closed to immigration. But everywhere there's a closedness, and, you know, societies are becoming ghettos, which, of course, is a very, very backward step.
Alan Horowitz, thank you so much for joining us on behalf of South African Jews for a Free Palestine. And we trust you'll have a good day ahead of you. And thank you for your insights.
Thank you.